This is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive for a job you'll love. Visit progressive.com/careers. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Greg Sharp joins us. He is the play-by-play voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Big weekend in the Big Ten. Of course, one of the most important conferences in college football. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Beautiful fall day, ready to get back on the field for the Huskers after their bye week left.
All right, I got Northwestern coming up this weekend, correct?
That is correct. They were also off last week.
How has it been for Matt Rhule in his first year? Anytime a new coach comes in, there's always that transition. How has it been for Nebraska in that first year for Rhule?
Well, I think it's hard to pick at things that he's done wrong. He's really trying to flip a losing mentality that has sunk into this program for the last decade. And I think winning at Illinois, their last game before the bye week, was a big kind of turn for this team. And they've got a pretty kind schedule coming up where they can start doing some damaging, starting with this Northwestern game on Saturday.
All right, let's get to the Big Ten overall. And there's a big game coming up in Ohio State and Penn State. And people sort of look and say, well, here's Michigan, here's Ohio State. Penn State is not under the radar by any means, but for a lot of people around the country, they're not on the big game at night that's getting all the national attention. You sort of have to follow them through what they're doing in the afternoon. But how much of an issue is Penn State into the Michigan-Ohio State East battle?
They're right there. I mean, I love their team. I love all the weapons that James Franklin's squad has. I think that's going to be a heck of a game at the Shoe on Saturday. And remember, they get Michigan at home. And so this is kind of a round robin for those three who clearly separated themselves from the pack in the Big Ten Conference. But I think Penn State's really, really good. And you can just go back to that Rose Bowl victory over Utah last year. I think they kind of showed the country that they're one of the upper echelon teams, and don't sleep on the Nittany Lions. That should be a tremendous game on Saturday.
Which leans in the Nittany Lions' favor? How good they are defensively? They're the number one defense in the country based on statistics. But offensively with Drew Aller, how did that balance out for this team?
Yeah, I think defensively that's going to give them a chance on the road. You're going to have to play good defense. You're going to need to get stops. And Ohio State has shown some rough patches offensively through the early part of the season, whether it was the Notre Dame game or whether it was the Maryland game where they were sleepy in the first half of that game against the Terrapins just a couple of weeks ago. I think Penn State's defense is going to give them a real shot in this game on Saturday. And don't get me wrong, they have weapons on the offensive side, and they can get points and get that cranked up. But to win on the road against a top five team like Ohio State, you've got to play good defense.
With the Buckeyes, we saw them in that close game against Notre Dame. But overall, is this a similar Ryan Day Ohio State team? If it's not, how different is it?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think they are quite getting the play quarterback that they've had. They've just been blessed for the last 7 or 8 years, just having whether it's Fields or Stroud or it seems like they would plug and play. Now, I don't think they're quite to that level at that position that they've been in the past. They've had some injuries in the backfield. The running back position has been banged up for them. So I don't think they're quite as potent offensively as they've been in recent times. And, you know, the luck of the draw was that they were not going to keep continuing and getting Strouds and Justin Fields type play at that spot. And I think that's kind of made them a little bit more mortal this year.
In the West, where Nebraska is, Iowa is on top. What are the Hawkeyes still the old, hey, wait around till they score Hawkeyes, or are they a little different as well?
No, the West is a mess. I mean, the West is just really odd football right now. Iowa just, you know, they're going to play great defense. You know, they've got good special teams. Their quarterback is out. Their top two tight ends, which they love to get the ball to the tight ends, they're out for the season. It's a banged up group for them. You kind of sit there and scratch your head on how they're 6-1. But that's a credit to Kirk Ferentz and that culture that he's done there, that they can just win week after week after week. It's ugly football, but it's effective for them. And the rest of the West is kind of in the same boat. You've got a lot of different coaches in the West this year, first year, including Matt Rhule here at Nebraska. And you've got injuries to quarterbacks around the Big Ten West. So it's a strange, strange year. Iowa right now is on top. But with the lack of offense, every game they play is in jeopardy.
Yeah, Tanner Mordecai is lost at Wisconsin, and that's another team that's got a first-year head coach in Luke Fickell. Is that a big deal for Wisconsin? They tend to run the ball well. Is that a big deal to lose a guy like him coming in from SMU?
Oh, it totally is. I mean, they built a lot of this offense around Mordecai. They want to go more wide spread offense, and so Mordecai was the perfect guy for them, and so now they don't have him. I don't think he's lost for the year. It's a broken hand. It's a non-throwing hand, so I think he'll be back at some point, but he won't be this week, and so their game at Illinois is certainly a toss-up type game on Saturday. Same thing with Iowa and Minnesota, the Floyd of Rosedale trophy on the line for that one. That one's going to be a field goal type game. So the West, as I said, is a mess. It's kind of messy every week. It's a low-scoring type game, and I think that makes for interesting football if you don't mind not seeing a lot of points put on the board.
Yeah, because I always like to ask this question about this around this time of year with conferences is we sort of get it on the teams that are on the top, but how is the middle? So how is the middle of the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think the middle's okay. I don't think it's great. I think it's okay. It's certainly going to change 12 months from now when you add the four Pac-12 schools into the mix of this thing. And this is the last year for divisions in the Big Ten. They have come out saying with the expansion of the two Southern California schools in Oregon and Washington, they're getting away from divisions starting next year. So you're not going to be able to talk east-west. But I think the middle's okay. It's going to get a lot better with the addition of those four in 12 months.
What do you think about that as a guy that, you know, when you're calling games and you're preparing for games, there is still a little, like if you're in a division, I've seen in the SEC where I live, where the East, maybe it's Georgia, but you have a little chance the West used to dominate. Is that a good thing to get rid of divisions and make it more jumbled for people to sort of look at it and go, well, we're like seventh?
I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest with you, but they're not asking me for my opinion.
Sure.
On the deal.
Neither are here. Same thing.
They've gone to the way of we're just going to go and match teams up and let you try to play everybody in your 4 or 5 year college career. I think it's confusing. I think if you have divisions, you keep a more regionalized feel to it. But we're in the day and age now of college football where regionalization is out the window. It's what can you put together and cobble together as a conference. And so the Big Ten next year will go coast to coast, having teams like Rutgers and Maryland on one coast and then UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington on the other. So it's a completely across the coast thing. I'm not a huge, huge fan of it, but again, that's where we are right now in college sports.
I know Michigan State's struggling, and I know the Mel Tucker situation and all of that. How is Michigan State, with all of its resources and whatnot, is it an attractive job for somebody at a good school in a good position to leave for?
Absolutely. I think they've got a lot of resources at their disposal. It's, you know, got a big stadium. They've got decent tradition. I mean, if I'm Michigan State, I'm eyeballing a guy like Jonathan Smith out at Oregon State. I mean, that's a program that's been left out. I would go hard after Jonathan Smith. I think he's terrific. I think in the long haul, Michigan State can pay him a lot more than the Beavers can. I would look to that direction if I'm running the Michigan State program. You know, they're certainly in a messy situation. So is Northwestern after the dismissal of Pat Fitzgerald in the offseason. So they're in the market for a coach. But if I'm a program looking for somebody, I would look at that Oregon State coach. I think he is tremendous.
All right, let's get to Michigan. And the Wolverines are the number two team, right? Some people think they should be the number one team. But Michigan is one of those where you're just fine-tuning a bit because when they get to the playoff, they've stumbled and lose, and people are wondering, can they turn the corner? Do you see elements in place in the Wolverines that can do that?
Yeah, we saw them a couple weeks ago. I think they're tremendous. I think they're really solid along both lines of scrimmage. McCarthy now is a year older at the quarterback spot. They've got two terrific backs in Corum and Edwards. They've got enough weapons on the outside, and led by Roman Wilson. Good tight ends. I think they're the complete package. I think they're bored to tears right now, and part of that's their own doing. They didn't schedule anybody in the non-conference. They haven't played Ohio State. They haven't played Penn State. They get a wounded and tumultuous program in Michigan State this Saturday. I think they're just dying from boredom right now, but I do think they're really, really good. Whether they're number one or not, I don't know. I think that certainly will be decided in late December and January when we hit the playoffs.
Yeah, Greg, I really appreciate your insight into the conference. It's certainly making news as always, but now with these, especially with these three teams in the East. Good talking to you. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Greg Sharp, Nebraska football on the Big Ten. Again, you got Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, all unbeaten. And like he said, the West is a mess. Yeah, he's right. There's a lot of injuries. But credit Kurt Ferentz, like you mentioned. Good defense. That's it. How is Iowa 6-1? Yeah, that's a credit to their head coach. But the conversation we were having about divisions, it really – imagine if you were a school that is one of the middles, right? Just you're not one of the elites, but you're one of the middles. But through circumstance – you're pretty good, right? You're just not great. But you're in a division that's where you might, with a bounce of a ball and an upset win, could put you in a championship moment. Now, some people would argue, well, I don't want a middle in a weak division. If I've got the better teams, like let's look at the Big Ten, for example, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, I'd much rather have a standings that's full of all the teams, and I get to take Penn State and Ohio State in the championship, or Michigan, Ohio State again in the championship, or what. I don't want to play a team that just won the West because the top team was supposed to be good, but an injury caused them to lose a couple of games, and we just give it to an 8-4 team. That's happened before, and they're trying to get away from that, but it allows those 8-4s a chance to continue on a season with something to go for.